today as we come to the table.
Jesus is being rather abrupt here. This is usually not the approach you would take. He's dealing with a bunch of pastors who are unsaved, who are leading the nation astray. Now, if you're dealing with a bunch of unsaved pastors who are making a strong stand in their pride and they're leading a group of people astray, you can speak firmly to them. But for the most part, it's the person on the street. It's the friend. It's the family member. They're not pastors and religious leaders leading the church astray. They're just lost people, and maybe they're even prideful, but we need to be more gracious. Say the truth, but speak the truth in love, but do it in a gracious way. The Lord here is hitting hard with these guys because he loves them, but because they need to hear it in a very straightforward way.
The Bible is truth. Anyone who doesn't believe is walking in darkness. In today's message, Pastor Mark says, though we can be firm with those in authority in the church about their walks with Christ, we must talk in love and kindness toward lost people because that's how Jesus is with us. He loves you and wants you. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. We're all broken and in need of a Savior. Because of this, we need to be kind to those around us. His mercies are new every morning for you. He loves you and wants a relationship with you. If you don't know Jesus, there's no greater time than now to put your faith in Him, trust in Him, and find your hope in the One who saves. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
The prophets are not dead. They're very much alive. They're not here in earthly bodies, but they're very much alive right now. You're going to get to meet them in the kingdom of God. I'm going to get to meet them in the kingdom of God. And so they didn't understand things from a spiritual sense. They can only see things from a physical sense. And they further attack him using Abraham as their backing. Well, Abraham is our father. Again, implying, we still don't know who your dad is. You don't even really know who your dad is. And so we know you're crazy and you're saying all these crazy things. Just who do you think you are? Now, Jesus is now going to embark on exactly who he is very clearly without question to these religious leaders so that no one will ever be able to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day. Not these guys or anyone here or anyone that knows the word of God and say, you never told us you were God. He's going to make it very clear, I am God. Look at verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Again, self-honor means nothing, only honor from heaven, which Jesus reiterates. He says, the Father in heaven, he's the one giving me this honor. I'm not coming down or talking about my greatness and who I am. He's the one using me to do these miracles, to open eyes and open ears and to raise the dead and do these things. You see it, but you're rejecting it. You say that he's your God, but he's not. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier, guys, just because someone is a religious leader does not mean they know the Lord. I've been around people before, and don't get me wrong, guys that are religious leaders. And I'm not there judging them in the wrong biblical sense of judging or thinking I'm better than they are. I've just been around them going, this person doesn't know Christ. I can tell they don't. You know when somebody knows someone. You ever talk to somebody and you're having a conversation about someone that you know, but they don't know them? You can tell. They know about them, but they don't know them. You know them. And there's a difference. You can just tell the difference. You get around someone who says they know God, but you can tell they don't have a relationship with him. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's called discernment. That's not unbiblical judging. That's discernment. Why is that important? You need to discern that for two reasons. One, you need to say, all right, I need to share the gospel here. And I need to be savvy in the way I do it because they think they're saved. And they're not. So I've got to somehow share it in a way that they'll be challenged. But at the same time, you need to be praying for them. God, open their eyes. They need to recognize they don't know the Lord. So it's not that we walk around judging everyone, but if we don't use the gift of discernment, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit, how do we know that someone has a situation? Don't you love it when you go to a doctor that's really good at what he does and he goes, you know what? There's something going on here that I need to check something. And nobody else has been able to find out what it is. And the doctor comes back and says, this is what's going on. You'll, nurse, let's run a test on book. And they come out, that's what it is. You're like, wow, I'm glad to know what it was. You know, it's like, and because he's learned over the years to be discerning. He can recognize certain signs. You need to become that way as a believer. Not walking around just judging everyone. Well, they don't go to Calvary, so then, or whatever. I'm not saying that kind of weird stuff. But you need to be able to say, wait a minute. This person here, I'm not seeing the fruit of Christ. See, religion is one thing. Relationship is entirely different. And let's not get too cliche on that, church, because that can become cliche. It's not religion, it's relationship. And we have our bumper stickers. I get all that. But that is a truth that we can't ever let grow cold, because you're going to run into a lot of religious people. But unless there's that relationship where they are hearing God speak into their lives and there's an interaction with God and you know that God's involved in your life, you should know that. Now, again, not audibly hearing his voice. I want to just encourage this in case there's a new believer. But you should be interacting where God speaks to you from his word and you know God's directing you. And it may not be all the time and it may not be every second. You know, sometimes you have to search that out. I think a lot of people think for some reason that pastors, you know, have this special connection to God and they may even get nervous around a pastor and think that, well, he hears things other people don't hear. You know, this kind of thing. Look, I'm just like you guys. And I get confused about, is that really God or not? And how do I find out whether or not it's God? I've got to go to the word and spend time in the word. I've got to pray and I've got to say, God, give me a confirmation. I want to know that this is you. So I go through the same things that everyone in this room goes through. There's no special privileges or special connections to heaven. The door's open to all of us. It's whether or not we spend the time with him to hear his voice. And so these guys here, again, they're the religious leaders, but he says, you say that he's your God, but you don't even know him. Notice verse 55, he says, yet you have not known him. It means, it's gnosko, it means by experience. You by experience, you don't know him, but I do. I know him by experience. And he says, if I say I don't know him, I shall be a liar like you. Now the heat's turning up, isn't it? He's only making it, you know, I say in one way, making it worse. He's saying what he had to say to them, but he's speaking straightforward. He's saying, your father's a liar. You're a liar. And if I don't say the truth, I'll be a liar like you. But I know him and I keep his word. Now, it's interesting. The Lord not only says that he knows him by experience, but he uses a different word for know here that means I've seen him. Now, imagine the impact that had on these guys. We think you're demon-possessed, and you're not even a real Jew. And he says, you know what? Your father is not even the father in heaven. I know him, and you don't. And I know him by experience, which you don't. And I've seen him, and you haven't. In other words, indicating, I came down from heaven. I know what's going on. I've got firsthand knowledge of it, but you're rejecting it. You don't know it. Look, you want to make somebody mad, say that to a religious leader who doesn't know God. If you want to imply to them that somehow you know something they don't, or that you know God and they don't know God, that's not going to go well. And yet Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth. Jesus discerned the truth. He knew the truth and he confronted him in it. Guys, we have the same mandate. Listen, if we are with someone and we recognize they don't know the Lord, God wants us to begin to pray and to look for an opportunity to share the truth with them. And it doesn't mean you have to come up to them and say, you know what, I don't think you know God. You don't have to do it that way. You can just begin to share what God has done in your life and share the truth of knowing God and who God is and all the relationship you have with him. Let it be a challenge to them. And so Satan here, I mean, is blind to these guys. And Jesus is now letting them know that they're blinded by the enemy, that he's their father. He exposes them in two areas. First of all, that they don't know God, which again, for a super religious person would be very humbling and very angering. But again, he says, you know, do you not know him? I know him and I've met him in a personal way. You know, I think one of the things I remember when I first got saved, sharing Jesus with people and being a young believer and all that, everybody I shared with in the South, they were like, yeah, I know God, I know God, I know God. I kept thinking, everybody in the South was saved but me. Why did I take so long? What happened to me? You know, what? The gospel's not needed here. But then I began to watch people's lives and I realized, wait a minute. You can't live the way you're living and really know him. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And I began to realize people think they know Jesus, or maybe they have a Jesus they've created. Well, I don't think Jesus would ever fill in the blank. Do you know that's not up to us to determine? We can't say what Jesus would ever do or not do. Who's the only one that can say what Jesus would do or not do? Jesus. And if you don't know him and find out what he would do or not do, then you'll never know. And so I begin to say to people, have you met him? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Have you met him? And again, I knew that, you know, again, not speaking audibly, but just to get their attention, I would say, have you heard him talk? Have you heard him talk to you? Have you ever heard him say anything? Does he communicate with you? Well, I don't know that I've ever met him like that or had him talk to me or whatever. And I would say to them, you can. And that's what I was, not audibly, but he will talk to you. Do you know for a fact that you know him? Do you have that relationship? Is it just religion? Is it Southern gospel stuff? But there's no, listen, it's amazing. You go and look at these, if you look at Southern gospel, even some of these people that put out Southern gospel albums, and then look at their lives. It's just a thing certain people do in the South. It's not a relationship that many people have. And so we have to make sure as Southerners that we have discernment to recognize that and that we can in love confront that. Now again, Jesus is being rather abrupt here. This is usually not the approach you would take. He's dealing with a bunch of pastors who are unsaved, who are leading the nation astray. Now, if you're dealing with a bunch of unsaved pastors who are making a strong stand in their pride and they're leading a group of people astray, you can speak firmly to them. But for the most part, it's the person on the street. It's the friend. It's the family member. They're not pastors and religious leaders leading the church astray. They're just lost people, and maybe they're even prideful. But we need to be more gracious. Say the truth, but speak the truth in love, but do it in a gracious way. The Lord here is hitting hard with these guys because he loves them, but because they need to hear it in a very straightforward way. He says, you don't even know him. And if I say that I don't know him, I'll be a liar like you. Look at verse 56. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced. Oh boy, does he turn the heat up here. He keeps getting more and more as you move along toward the climax of him declaring that he's God. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. What? Your day? How did he see your day? And again, you know, look what they say. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? 50 to them, that was considered the year of full maturity for a man. 50 years old, you were fully mature in the Jewish mindset. So the bottom line is they're saying, you've not even reached that full blooming and maturity of being a man on this earth. And you're saying that Abraham has seen you and that you've seen Abraham. Again, this is an amazing statement. But Jesus here not only shows his superiority to Abraham, whom they so honor, but he shows, you know what? I've already met him. You guys hadn't met him. I've met him. He knows me and I know him. How is that possible? Because again, as we're going to see in a moment, he's going to declare that he's God, but he's eternal God. And so he's met him. But now here's what's amazing. Not just met him in heaven, you know, this kind of thing. Jesus came to the earth and met Abraham in more than one instance. It's interesting. The Bible talks about, or rather theologians talk about theophanies and Christophanies. The definition of a theophany is an appearance of God to man. Okay, an appearance of God to man is a theophany. A Christophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ to man. So when Jesus himself comes in that form, when God reveals himself, God revealed his glory to the nation of Israel, and they saw the cloud, you know, and they saw the furnace burning on Mount Sinai, but they didn't see a form. Then when we see a form of God, when God comes to mankind in a form, he always came in the form of Jesus Christ. And there's multiple examples of this throughout the scripture. I won't go into all of them for time's sake, but I want to point out a couple with Abraham simply because that's where we are. And Jesus talks about when he met Abraham while Abraham was still a man before Abraham had died and gone to the spiritual realm. The first one, don't turn there. I'm just going to tell you these for time's sake, but you can make a note or write this down to read them later. Genesis 18, where it says that the Lord went with two angels to meet Abraham. And remember, the Lord showed up. It tells us it was the Lord. He showed up in human form. We know it was Jesus, again, because no one can see the Father in his full glory and live, the Bible says. So that's why God has to appear to us in the form of a man, which he did in Jesus Christ when he came and died for us. But he did it even before that. So Jesus and a couple of angels show up to Abraham's tent. Abraham makes a meal for them, and they tell Abraham, hey, a year from now, you're going to have a baby boy. And Abraham begins to rejoice. He's like, you're kidding. Yes, a baby boy. Now we see Abraham glad because he's not only met God, but he's gotten a message from God about this child that's going to be born. And a year later, what happened? Isaac was born. And so we saw that come to pass. Even Abraham continued the conversation on when the angels were going down to pass judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin. And so Abraham saw him there. Abraham was glad. What was another time? Another time was there when Melchizedek came out to meet Abraham. You remember when Lot was taken captive before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. They came and took them away. Abraham got 318 of his own servants, his men from his own home, whatever, went after him, defeated these armies, got everybody, brought everybody back, brought all the reward back and all their belongings. And out comes this mysterious character called Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He was also called the Prince of Peace, the king of Salem rather, which means Prince of Peace. And he comes out with bread and wine to eat with Abraham. Start making a picture here of what's going on. It tells us in Hebrews that this Melchizedek had no earthly father or mother. Who was this? This was Jesus Christ, He was appearing to Abraham. He came out and said, Abraham, I'm now becoming one with you. Remember, to eat with someone was to become one with them. They had the bread and the wine. They became one together. And at the same time, it was a Christophany in that he was showing a foreshadow of Jesus giving the body and the blood, or the bread and the wine, to his followers. And he did it with Abraham. He said, I've shown myself to Abraham as God face to face. I've shown myself to Abraham as Christ, even having communion with him face to face and giving him a verbal blessing. Oh boy, you should have seen it, guys. He was so excited when that happened. He was rejoicing when that happened. Now, can you imagine them going, oh, you know, again, the old Yosemite Sam, oh, ancient dragon, whatever, right? The bottom line is, Jesus is saying, you have no idea who you're talking to. And all he's done is make the bed, getting ready for the announcement here. He's laid the foundation saying, you know what? You guys aren't accepting this, but I am God Almighty. And Abraham knew this, and Abraham rejoiced. So again, who do you think you are? You're not yet even 50 years old. Notice what it says in verse 58. Here's the bombshell. Every Christian needs to know this, and every Christian needs to know where it is and how to share it. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, that even before he even existed, I am. And it just means existing one. I am. No beginning, no end. I am. Ego emi in the language. And what's amazing about this, this is the same name that God gave himself when Moses was talking to God in the flaming fire there in the bush in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 3, don't turn there, but you can do it later. Moses is talking with God, and God is revealing himself in this flame of fire out of this bush that's not being consumed. And Moses is trying to get out of it. You remember all the excuses. And Moses said to him, all right, when I go and I see the children of Israel, who can I say sent me? Who will I tell them sent me? He said, well, what is your name? He said, you tell them I am sent you. And he says, and that will be my name forever. The children of Israel from that point on called one of the names of God, I am. They very much knew what he was saying. He said to them, I am the voice of the burning bush. I am God Almighty. Abraham saw me. I was the Lord that visited him with those angels. I was Melchizedek, the one that came out and gave him the bread and the wine. I'm the one that revealed it. And I am God. There was no doubt as to who he was. And again, guys, this is so important for us for a number of reasons. One is because, again, there are people today that will still say that Jesus never said he was God. And there are many false religions out there that deny that Jesus alone was God. They may even say that he was a God, but that he won't say that he was he God. Jesus said, or the God, Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Do you know today, the Mormons say that Jesus is Satan's brother? What an insult. Let me just say this. I'm not attacking a religious group. That's not my heart. But what an insult. Jesus just revealed that Satan was a liar and the father of lies. And I said, yeah, you're his brother. Really? They say he's his brother. The Bible says he's the son of God. He has no brother. He's God. Jesus said the Mormons will die in their sins because they don't believe that he's I am. They don't believe that he's God, God alone. Jehovah's Witnesses. What do the Jehovah's Witnesses say? They say that he's Michael the Archangel. Now, how they got to that, I don't know. Where do they find that Jesus is Michael the Archangel? Again, Jesus said because of that, they're going to die in their sins. What about Buddhists and Hindus? We talked about them earlier. They say that everyone can be God, that we can all be Christ. We all have the Christ consciousness. We just have to discover it and become one with Christ and one with this kind of thing or whatever. And Jesus said, no, that's not. The Bible says you believe that. Unless you believe that I alone am God, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said all of them will die in their sins. The Muslims, they don't believe that Jesus is God. As a matter of fact, they say, yes, he was a prophet, but they don't even believe he died on the cross. And they certainly deny that he resurrected from the dead because they deny he died on the cross. They say that he's not God. Jesus said this, they will die in their sins. Well, Mark, this is awfully exclusionary. This is awfully radical. This is what I love about Jesus and the Bible. Not that it's exclusionary. That's not my point. The Bible says that God's desire is that none perish and that all come to the kingdom of God. But what I love about it is Jesus has painted all of us in such a corner and proved it by his power and his word that we only have one choice to make. And that makes it easy for me. But he makes it so clear we don't have to be confused. It's not about a bunch of different religions or a bunch of different spiritual leaders. It is Jesus. He is God. If we don't believe that he's God and come to him and believe that he died and rose again from the dead, the Bible says we can't go to heaven. It's simple. It may be radical. It may be challenging. It may cause people to pick up rocks and throw them at you, which we're going to see here in verse 59. But it's the truth that all of us have to know for ourselves so we can get into heaven. But it's also the truth that we need for the world around us because they can't get in unless they believe this. This is radical. And again, when you say, wow, this is so radical, what happens when you say things so radical? Guys, the bottom line is when you say things radical, it makes people very upset sometimes. And this is why Christians and Christianity is so attacked. Listen what happened in verse 59. This is where we get it. He's our leader. Then they took up stones to throw at him. How many people are throwing rocks at the believers today? Verbal rocks. Hating the church because of where we stand. How can you say that Jesus is the only way? Here's the good news. None of us in this room ever said that. Who said that? Jesus said it. We didn't come up with that. We didn't write the, you know, hey, here's what we're going to do, guys. Is we're going to declare this as a church, and we'll put church leaders, and we'll put it in our official doctrines, and we'll all chant it every Sunday, right? That may sound enchanting, but it's not the truth. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me. And he said, now you're my messengers. Go tell the world. Yes, you're going to be hated. You're going to be rejected, some of you even by your own family. Some of them may want to pick up rocks and throw them at you. He said, but I'm going to go before you. I'm going to do it first, and I'm going to lead the way, and I will give you the power you need. And you know what? You're never going to die. You're never going to die. Don't be afraid of them. Yeah, but it'll hurt. Well, have you ever been hurt before? Yeah, the time I flew over my handlebars and crashed down the hill in the concrete. Well, yeah, okay. I think I've had wrecks on my bike that would hurt as much as being stoned to death. I'm not sure. You know, it's just I lived through the bike wreck, right? The bottom line is don't be afraid of that. You're going to be okay. And you'll never die. Pain is a part of human life. It's a part of what we're made. But we have a kingdom forever. And guys, listen, if you're going, wow, this is really radical today, you've nailed Jesus Christ. He was never middle of the road, wishy-washy. He wasn't a politician. He didn't say so both sides of the aisle could be happy. He didn't candy coat it. He didn't say this. He said, here's the bottom line. You've got to accept it or not accept it. And I'm glad he did it. He didn't do it to be rude. He did it to save eternal souls. And notice they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And that again shows us no one could do anything to the Lord unless it was his time for it to be done to him. And no one can do anything to you unless it's your time either, so you can rest. Here's the question. Do you know him? Do you know him? I'm not talking about religion. Have you met him? Does he talk to you? Do you talk back? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're getting in the kingdom? Because if not, you need to do that right now. Listen, I don't want to give one of those, you never know you have another day, but the truth of the matter is we never know if we're going to have another day or not. That's just true. That's not to scare anybody. I hope you have many days and that you thrive and prosper in the Lord. But you may not. This may be it. If you don't know that you're getting in, you need to decide today. Do I believe that Jesus is God and he is the only way into heaven, that he died on a cross and rose again the third day? Because that's the only way you're getting in. If you don't believe that, you can knock all you want. You're not getting in. And it's not a threat. It's not something that God does to challenge us. It's not something he does to make us angry. It's just a fact. Sin will not enter the kingdom of God. It has to be paid for. And there was only one payment, the cross. If you go through the cross, you're getting in. If you don't, you're not. And I want to give you a chance to do that. I make an appeal to you. What's keeping you from receiving him? Receive the Lord today.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of John. John was a disciple of Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. John became one of the most influential apostles following Jesus' death and resurrection. He experienced much during his lifetime, including witnessing miracles, running to an empty tomb, and being tortured for his faith. Wouldn't it be neat to meet John and hear his account of what happened? Thankfully, he wrote much of it down, but he even stated that there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's how the end of the book of John concludes. What a thing to think about. That books could not contain all that could be known about Jesus and what he did here on earth. Thank goodness we have a small glimpse into what happened, and it can strengthen our faith day by day. If you have a question about what you heard today, you can give us a call at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. If you'd like to listen to this message again, you can easily download the Way Media app from our website, thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville, and we hope you found today's message encouraging and insightful into the heart of Jesus. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the New Testament book of John here on Come to the Table.
to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.